McDonald's is supersizing its bets in China with its plans to almost double the number of restaurants in the country by 2022. It's part of its new deal with state-backed Chinese group CITIC and the U.S.-based Carlyle Group. McDonald's had planned to add just 1,500 restaurants over the next 5 years, but it's now aiming for double-digit annual sales growth in China over that period.
In the border trading hub of Dandong, Chinese fishing vessels routinely sail deep into North Korean waters, bartering for alcohol, vegetables and other goods in exchange for fresh seafood. The port right now is far from its usual hive of activity. Despite the ban, some traders have continued to operate, risking fines. While China says it strictly enforces all UN resolutions against North Korea, local officials are known to take it upon themselves to ignore instructions.
Well, I don't think it's the goal of the American president to change the regime. It's the goal of the American president to stop North Korea from having an ICBM that can hit America with a nuclear weapon on top. He would go to war to prevent that. We got two bad options. That is to let them get a missile to hit America or go to war to stop them. China should have two bad options. Deal with a nut job in your backyard or realize that there'll be a war in your backyard.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It is August 10th, 2017. 5:10 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day. Lots to cover in the show this morning. A little bit later on, we'll be talking about Airbnb trips, experiences. Hosts are now becoming tour guides, and this has now expanded to Chicago. And the folks from Airbnb in Chicago will be here in the studio to talk to us about it. It's our Thought Leader Day as well. John Horton will be here momentarily. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, world stocks fell for a third day, and investors moved again into the Swiss franc, yen, and gold, prompted by the war of words between the United States and North Korea. You heard in the opening montage there, two bad options for the U.S. in dealing with what's happening on the Korean Peninsula. Markets saw a tentative recovery in risk appetite in overnight U.S. and early Asian trading, but anxiety mounted again as Asian stocks fell back, and London, Frankfurt, and Paris all dropped between 0.5% and almost 1.2%. Currency traders consolidated positions in the Japanese yen and Swiss franc and pushed up the dollar index by unwinding some of the recent bets on the euro. Futures are pointing toward a weak open on Wall Street later this morning, now down 49 on the Dow, off 33 on the NASDAQ, and off 9 on the S&P. Looking over the Asian numbers again, the Nikkei off almost a third, down about 65 points. The Asian Dow down about 0.5% as well. Hang Seng of the Shanghai were in positive territory ending the day in Asia. In Europe, markets in London down almost a full percent, off 81 points, off about 0.5%. In Germany, down about 83 points, and in Paris, in France, down about a third, down 19 points right now here on the big board. Crude oil is trading at $49.88 a barrel, which is up about 0.5%. Some stories that we're watching for you this morning: a legal settlement between ABC and a South Dakota meat producer in a defamation lawsuit over the network's report on a beef products that critic dubs pink slime. Remember that? Exceeded $177 million, we're learning. Disney, which owns ABC, disclosed the deal, the legal settlement, in a filing with a government securities regulator this week as the Disney Corporation filed its quarterly earnings report. A Delaware bankruptcy judge is weighing a request by Japanese auto parts supplier Takata. The company is seeking an injunction prohibiting governments of Hawaii, New Mexico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands from prosecuting lawsuits involving the company's lethally defective airbag inflators. Federal regulators are investigating whether a 2015 recall of Range Rovers fixed the problems of their doors opening while driving. The investigation covers about 63,000 Range Rovers from the 2013 to 2016 model years and Range Rover Sport SUVs from the 2014 and 2016 models. It is Thought Leader Thursday, and we're happy to have back with us John Horton, Vice President and Senior Lending Manager at Associated Bank in our conversation this morning. John, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me back.
We're glad to have you back. It's been a while since we saw you, but we're happy to see you nonetheless.
Been too long.
Yeah. So let's talk about a little bit of breaking news. The LIBOR, which is an index, I guess, that helps set ARM rates, could be going away. This is a story that's still developing, so we don't have a lot of details about it. But why should we be interested in this news?
I think what you might be interested in, ARMs are really popular for people that want a lower payment on a higher rate. And with the limited news that we have, they're actually saying that banks might be able to add, say, a tenth of a percentage point to the cost of a mortgage. It actually could cost consumers hundreds of dollars in the first year. They're saying it'd be unfair. There's still a lot to flesh out on this, but ARMs are pretty popular. I think they take up about 14% of all home buyers have adjustable rate mortgages.
Do you think it would come as a surprise to most consumers that an index overseas actually sets their ARM rate here in the U.S.?
You know, I think it would. You do have a lot of educated borrowers right now. Before they get into anything, they do a lot of research. I think people may realize what they're in, but they also feel comfortable what they're in. Mm-hmm. I think what might be the problem is if this takes effect at existing ARMs, which I think might be real difficult. Going forward, it may take effect on ARMs once you're due or new mortgages.
It seems like this is big enough that if this suddenly goes away, that something will come in to fill its void.
It could. I mean, you're looking right now, $1.33 trillion of mortgages outstanding are ARMs. So something pretty big is going to have to fill that void. Is it going to lead to banks getting to pick what they want? Probably not, because we're so highly regulated. It's going to have to be the CFPB or Fannie and Freddie, obviously going back to their guidelines as well.
Something I'm guessing banks would not be interested in trying to do themselves.
You don't want to hold that kind of paper. You know, you hold that much money on your books and something goes south, you're way overexposed in a situation like that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about home sales and mortgages, some of the other trends that we're seeing now, because I know this is your bread and butter. So home sales are down. Consumers apparently can't find homes. And if they did find them, they're probably willing to get a mortgage and buy, don't you think?
It is going well. The number of home sales was a 7.1 decline from a year ago in June. But all signs are really positive, believe it or not, on what we read and what we see on the internet. The unemployment is at a 14-year all-time low. Houses are on the market. There is an over-surplus. It's a good time to buy, but you also have to be a smart seller. You don't want to hold out for that highest bid because you may never get it. It can turn on a dime just like it has month to month as we talk.
Then what are we to make then of all of the talk about the inventory not being where it should be and people actually being turned away from buying?
They really need to look at the market, because the sales declined last month in the Northeast, South, and West, but it increased in Chicago. So in certain pockets, certain neighborhoods, there is plenty of inventory. Other areas, it is pretty scarce, which is good if you're a realtor, if you're a mortgage lender, and if you're a buyer. You just have to be able to take your time and negotiate. You can't be in a rush.
The Midwest increase, if my memory of stats is holding true, was almost double digits, wasn't it? It was
correct.
Above 12 or
exactly
13.
Exactly right.
So that's a good deal for the Midwest. What's happening different here than in other parts of the country, do you think?
You know, I think it's one of those things where people either like the Midwest, believe it or not. It's one of those where there's more opportunity. Look at the condos in the city. You have more opportunity, the bungalows, the condos. I think you get more variety of houses in the Midwest than you do in different parts of the country.
Rates are still generally low, are they not, compared to history? Even though we've seen a couple of ticks up on the Fed interest rates?
There were some ticks. July led to a bigger tick, I think, than the previous few months. But the 30-year fixed rate has been at 4 or below in 10 of the last 11 weeks. And again, it's what you hear. You really need to pick up the phone. We talk about this all the time. Call Associated Bank. Call the lenders. Have a conversation. Don't believe what you read, because you'll scare yourself away. Kind of an interesting statistic that you don't hear very often is there was 1.5 million borrowers purchased a home last year with less than 10% down. And that goes back to your purchase. A lot of people are still in that mindset that unless I have 20% down, I cannot buy a house. 1.5 million people in July purchased a home with less than 10% down.
How?
You can do 5% down. You can do 10% down. FHA is 3% down. A veteran is 100% financing. All depends on the product, the price point. But it's just that conversation. 20% down is not a mandatory number to purchase a home.
The other thing, too, is that you sort of alluded to this. If a story appears in the newspaper or online, it could be almost outdated by the time you make that call to either your realtor or your mortgage guy. I mean, just as we're talking today about mortgage rates, what we're seeing on the paper and on screen is probably different than what is actually happening right now.
Oh, absolutely. And there's so much leading news. A lot of it is advertising. We had a lady call us the other day, and she had saw something on the internet about a special presidential down payment assistance program. If she would have clicked that link, it would have brought her to an advertisement from another bank. But she saw the headlines, wanted to know all about it. You really need to have, again, it's back to the basics. The conversation, the relationship with the banker, and just leading you in the right direction. And the realtor, and the appraiser, and the home inspector, and the attorney.
Mm-hmm. And the phone call, let's say to you, where would you guide us? How would you guide us?
I asked her, as far as the presidential down payment assistance program you're talking about. No, you really, it can't be a quick call. It's a relationship. You know, our team at Associated Bank and the mortgage group, it is not a file. It is not a loan. It's a customer. You know those people. You know their kids. You know their birthdays. You need to know what they want. What's their goal? They may want to buy a house, but the husband may know that he's going to be leaving in 5 years. Their kids may be going to college. You don't want a 30-year fixed. You can't quote a quick rate to get a quick deal. You got to take your time, learn what they want, and it might not even be a good time for them to buy. You may steer them in another direction. They might not be credit worthy to buy. You may need to work with them over the course of a year to fix their credit, to get them into a good product. So it really is just taking time, individual, see what you need, and don't be in a hurry.
And I'm kind of scared, though. If I were out making cold calls, I mean, how do I even begin that? Do I just give you a call, John, and say, hey?
Absolutely. Honesty is the best policy.
And that's the first step to making the relationship?
Right. It's like the sales guy is calling on realtors or builders. You know, we're going to do what's best for your customer. We might not have the best product for your buyer, but we'll direct them in the right way. That way you gain the trust of your center of influence. You keep that confidence of the customer, and it makes it look good for Associated Bank.
Trust is a hard thing to get and keep, but how do I know to trust you? I mean,
well,
you look very trustworthy. I can tell just by looking.
That's all that matters. You know what? And again, with that internet that all the kids are talking about, you have Yelp. You can Google. If you're not going to be trustworthy, you're not going to give anybody your first and last name. You can find out anything about them. We've been more than glad to give clients, previous clients' names. If you'd like to do business with us, hey, you know what? Give Mr. and Mrs. Smith a call. Call the Johnstons. Let them know what a good job we did. And again, it goes back to your realtors. Realtors are not going to deal with an untrusting lender. Builders aren't going to. Attorneys aren't going to. So if you've been in it long enough and you're confident in your game, there's a lot of ways that you can gain that trust.
So let's talk a little bit about specific mortgage rates, since we mentioned that. Let's talk about the facts. What are we seeing in Chicago now on both the 30-year and some of the other arms?
You're seeing, and a lot of it depends on credit. So when people call for rates, it's really difficult to say, hey, our 30-year is this. It goes back to loan-to-value. It goes back to rates. But if you wanted just an off-the-sheet, you got good credit, your appraisal's good, 30-year is going to be right at 3.875 or 4%. Your ARM rates are going to be in the threes. Your 7-year ARM is going to be at 3.875. Your 5-year ARM, right about 3.375. Your 3-year ARM is probably 3.25. So you really, it's amazing how low they are, but because it's not bad news, you're not seeing it anywhere.
We heard the Federal Reserve might try to get rid of some of its balance sheet going forward, maybe even starting as early as September. And there's some, you know, suggestion that when they start doing that, we'll see interest rates go up on mortgages. Is that a danger with them trying to unload some of that off,
you know,
their balance sheet?
Back to the Fed increasing the rates, that's been a debate forever. The census among experts is split at the moment. So right now it's like a weatherman, partly cloudy, partly sunny. It's 50-50 whether they're going to do it or not. And you know, with future jobs data, ever-shifting geopolitics, everything, no matter what you turn on in the morning, is going to sway that. So it was supposed to, what was it, 4 times this year it was supposed to go?
Yeah. It's not looking like they'll do it again this year. Yeah.
Because they're also saying there could be a housing crisis. So they're looking at that, and raising the rates, knocking more people out of the ability to buy a home, is not going to help that housing crisis. That's a number that word is thrown around a lot,
right,
though.
Housing crisis is a scary phrase, too. I mean, where'd you hear that at? Because now I'm scared.
You know, don't be scared. You're very easily scared, Steve.
You scare me when you come in.
Don't be scared. Well, they were talking about, if you roll everything together, the numbers came out last Friday were better than expected. Well, last Wednesday, they said if they're worse than expected, there's going to be more unemployment, rates are going to go up, housing is going to be tough. So now you got the housing crisis. What happened Friday? Numbers came out lower than expected. Unemployment is lower. Rates are lower. So from what they said Thursday to a week later, it's completely opposite.
All of what you're saying sounds good, and I have to tell you, when I look at the big board on Wall Street and see the markets every day almost setting a record, I feel confident. I feel like I could buy a house right now, Is that a false sense of security, though?
No. You know what? It's mental. It is all mental. If you feel like you can do it and you're lined up with the right people, you're going to be able to do it. And again, it might not be in 60 days. It might be in a year. But you get that sentiment. At Associated Bank right now, my Chicago team is having one of their best years ever. New construction is off the charts. Refinancing, minimal, but we're still doing them. And purchases are leading the game with the construction loans.
You referenced the internet that the kids are using.
Mm-hmm. I hear about it.
What other technology are you using and are you seeing out there that's helping us go smoothly through this process?
You do get a lot of the online banking. For instance, at Associated Bank, you can click on a lender's name and apply online. That'll direct it to that lender. That'll still have that conversation. It depends on the mindset. You do get some people that never want to talk to anybody, want to click a button, have the rates go down, do everything over the internet. I'm not a big fan of that, only because you're missing that relationship part of it. If something does go wrong, you can't pick up the phone. So that's where banks are going to have to differentiate themselves. A lot of banks aren't doing the online, get the lowest rate, send it to brokers. They're going to have to differentiate themselves with advertising, with products, and just back to the relationship part of it is key.
When speaking of technology, I've actually been looking at a car recently, so I'm doing something else besides mortgages, but I've had a lot of those little buttons pop up that say check your credit rating, mm-hmm. your credit score, see if you qualify for certain products. I'm sure the same holds true for mortgages.
It does.
When that happens, is it dinging my credit when I do that?
I tell you, I'm always afraid to check those boxes because you never know who's going to get it. You are entitled, everyone's entitled to one free credit report a year, mm-hmm. but you got to be careful when you Google that because God knows where you're going to end up. There's a soft hit on your credit report, a car. Shopping for a car is called a soft hit. I believe you can shop within a week and get seven hits. It'll only hit it once. Similar with a mortgage. Okay. If you're shopping around, it's not going to give you a hard hit after hard hit. It's going to ding it, so you got to be careful what else you're doing right. besides shopping for cars.
But on a mortgage standpoint, this is, again, why it's good to have somebody like you to sort of answer those questions so we don't have to keep pressing.
Well, it's true, because if it's on the internet, it's got to be right, right? So someone is on a wrong site and reads something incorrectly and they follow that path, pick up the phone, man. We'll tell you if it's true or not. We're not gonna bite you. Just give us a call. Let us guide you in the right direction and buy a house.
Yeah. I'm always scared, though, when I press one of those buttons, it's going to take me to Nigeria or somewhere else.
Exactly. And then you just send them your Social Security number and you'll be good to go.
John, it's good to see you as always, and we'll see you again next month.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Steve.
John Horton is a Senior Vice President, Senior Lending Manager at Associated Bank. And remember, you can hear more of our thought leader conversations every Thursday right here on The Opening Bell. And you can find more of our past conversations on the WGNRadio.com Opening Bell page and also at AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership. Make sure you follow Associated Bank on Twitter, too, at Associated Biz.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Airbnb has launched something new across the country and here in Chicago that provides, it goes beyond providing lodging for travelers. It's called Airbnb Trips, and it really takes the experiences part of what you do traveling and adds it into this whole Airbnb experience. And we thought we'd talk a little bit about that this morning with Ben Bright. He's with public relations at Airbnb in Chicago. Ben, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good having you here because this is, summer is in full swing in the city. And, here lots of big weekends, and I would imagine Airbnb is doing well. Maybe you could tell us what the company's like in Chicago.
It is doing well. Chicago is a really exciting city for us. It's a place where people want to be. With our homes business is obviously what we've always been known for. 95% of our listings are actually outside of the loop, so it's afforded people the opportunity to stay in places in neighborhoods that otherwise, they wouldn't be able to experience. So recently what we decided to do, actually back in November, we announced this new platform called Trips that tries to take that authenticity that people are looking for with the homes and expanding it to the entire trip. And what we did recently a couple weeks ago was bring that new Trips platform to Chicago. And you know, couldn't be launching at a better time, obviously, as you said.
let's go further into that. Sure. Tell us about trips. I mean, what is it and how is it different from just a regular stay?
Sure. So the primary component of trips are these experiences. These are locally designed, led, curated experiences by native Chicagoans who have a specific passion. So whether that's food and drink or Chicago history or biking and hiking, just Chicago culture in general, that's what it's all about. So there's 28 of them, and they're spread throughout the city. We wanted to make sure that, you know, people know about Navy Pier, right? People know about the Bean, right? We wanted to make sure that these experiences were the types of experiences that you're not going to find in the typical travel brochure, and really importantly, in neighborhoods that, you know, like what we discussed with the homes business, that people don't normally get the opportunity to check out and see for themselves. So some really exciting ones are, you know, we actually have three in Bronzeville, in the neighborhood of Bronzeville. So one is actually a social impact experience. So all the money goes to charity, and that charity is the Center for New Horizons, which is based in Bronzeville. So this experience is led by a third generation Bronzeville resident. He takes you on a walking tour of historic Bronzeville, all the, you know, what's happened there over generations. Biking tours through West Loop over to the lakeshore. You know, hidden speakeasy tours in Bucktown. You see, these are establishments that don't necessarily promote themselves, and you really need kind of a local to get you in the door. So that's really what this is all about.
And it's sort of like having your own tour guide, because you can go to Bronzeville and you can hit some of the national park sites and other places where you have a ranger giving lots of people. But this is sort of your own personal tour guide.
Exactly. And Tom Freeman, New York Times, actually had a column last week that I thought put it perfectly about this specific platform. And it's people turning their passions into profit. And that's really what it is. So these 28 experienced hosts, they're not Airbnb employees. They, you know, saw in November when we launched the platform, they submitted an application to us, and you know, they were, you know, the cream of the crop. We worked with them to help develop their experiences, and yeah, it's sort of you know, a foot in the door. Whether you're an outsider, someone coming in to travel to Chicago, or a native Chicagoan. For me, I'm born and raised, and a lot of the, you know, one of the most interesting experiences from my standpoint is the South Side Comedy Tour that starts in Greater Grand Crossing and takes you to these sort of underground comedy lounges throughout the South Side. I had no idea that this existed, that there was this burgeoning comedy scene on the South Side. You think Chicago comedy, you think, you know, Zanies, Second City, the ones everyone knows. I didn't know this existed. So when I got to go on that, it was a real eye-opener for me, even though I, you know, I've lived here my entire life. And the host is a longtime Southside comedian. This is his scene. This is what he does.
This is almost taking the gig economy to the next level, isn't it? I mean, yeah. Here you have the Airbnb concept itself, but then you have this where you have the only thing I can think of is this people who are doing self-driving, doing the cars,
right,
who are doing Uber or whatever. This is like a step more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, and just to go back to the Friedman column, because he kind of echoed what you just said. Yeah. It's self-driving people.
Right.
That
right.
was his term.
Yeah.
Right. It's exactly right. So, you know, these individuals, you know, whatever the listing price is for the experience, and I think the average is about $60-$65 for a 3 to 4 hour experience generally, you know, they're keeping 80% of that. So the Airbnb's cut is 20. So that's, you know, for all the marketing, the advertising, and, you know, helping to make sure that people are aware of that this is something that's on the table now. And the experience hosts keep 80%. And again, they develop the experience themselves. This is their passion, and they make it work.
I think I read the same article that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And later on in that article, he talked about the robot artificial intelligence revolution.
Yeah.
And we've been reporting a lot on this program about how people are concerned it's going to take their jobs.
Right.
This is one of those areas where a robot can't
do going the
job.
Other way.
Right, the other way.
Right. And yeah, all the other concerns about, you know, technology and automation, is it you know, bringing people apart? This is a people-to-people platform, a people-powered platform. So bringing people together, the technology is a bridge to introduce people to new neighborhoods, new people, new things that they otherwise wouldn't be able to experience.
I want to ask you a little bit specifically about how this works. Is the experiences or the trips host that does this, are they also letting you stay in their house? Do you have to have a property where somebody stays? Or is it
there are a couple who actually are homes hosts, mm-hmm. and that's kind of how they were already connected to Airbnb, but that's more just sort of coincidental. They don't have to be homes hosts. And you don't have to, if you're visiting Chicago, you don't have to be staying at an Airbnb listing to do the experience if you don't want. Again, you know, it's good for day trips as well, for mm-hmm. or staycations for native Chicagoans. So it's kind of the larger Airbnb living like a local concept, but no, those two aren't directly related or required.
And this is not only happening in Chicago, but it's happening in other markets as well.
Right.
I saw in one place there you get to make sushi with the Japanese family.
Yeah.
You get to
samurai sword training,
right,
also in Tokyo.
Samurai sword. I mean, it's so cool that you almost want to go there after reading, you know, find the place to stay, find your host. But this experience is something that I'm betting you can't really find, even if you went looking for it.
Exactly. So Chicago, I think, is now the 30th or 31st city that we've launched in. And, you know, the original 12 that launched in November, there were a few American cities, one of which was Detroit, actually. So you were not just sort of going down the list of here are the most, you know, populous cities in the world. You know, we're picking and choosing cities to bring this platform where there's a real demand and where there's that sort of desire for an authentic experience. So Detroit is obviously such an amazing city, amazing people. They're getting back on their feet, and we want to be a small part of helping to power that. And Chicago, the opportunity to, you know, the 28 experiences, only two are actually in the loop. The rest are South Side, West Side. There's one in Rogers Park, far north, you know, kind of bringing you everywhere. So even though Chicago is this amazing destination and tourism is on the rise and has been for such a long time, not all the neighborhoods are really benefiting from it. We want to help bridge that gap. But throughout the world, I'll be in Rome in a few weeks, and you know, my girlfriend and I will be doing a pizza and pasta experience with this 8th generation Roman. He's a professional chef, and we'll be going out in the countryside. And yeah, I think she's full blooded talent, so I think she's more excited than I.
Yeah, even getting ready for this interview today, I was thinking I have like five ideas about how I'd like to do some of these. And so the question next is, do you limit the number of experiences? Can you have multiple people doing the same experiences? Or what's the concept here and how do you see it growing?
So the schedule of the experiences is totally up to the host. The amount of people that go on the experiences at once, also up to the host. But I think we cap it at maybe 8 or 9. Because I think if you're looking for the pure opposite of what this is supposed to be all about, you would see, you know, the walking tours, right, or Segway tours where everyone has headphones because you can't actually hear the host. Like, there's no intimacy whatsoever, or like a double-decker bus tour where you're seeing a lot but experiencing nothing, right? We want this to be the exact opposite, you know, very small, very intimate. A lot of the group sizes are really not supposed to be more than 3 or 4. I think it can go up to 8 or 9. But yeah, the schedules, everything else are up to the host. As far as bringing more experiences onto the platform, we're always accepting applications. I don't think we have a cap on the number that will allow for Chicago. Mm-hmm. But really what matters most is it the right type of experience? Does it fit in with the larger vision?
So you can't, you'll have some say, Airbnb will have some say in what the experience is in that application process.
Yeah, so the ideas, the vision comes from the hosts themselves. This is their passion or their livelihood, whatever it is. And then we'll work with them to help develop it just based on best practices, what we've seen works and doesn't work over the last 8 or so months since we first launched the platform in November. We'll help them work on pricing. That's sometimes a difficult thing. Ultimately, they decide the price, but a lot of them, you know, they're not professionals. This is more of a passion. So they're not totally sure, like, what's a reasonable price, what is not. You know, we'll help them on that front.
And you mentioned some of the different price structures there, but I would imagine if you have a group of 3 or 4 people, mm-hmm. 3 people, and you have a charge of, what, $60 per person, mm-hmm. that, and you do it several times a week, if not every day of the week during a busy month,
right,
that's could be quite profitable for a host.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've seen some people actually you know, giving up their day jobs to do it. Not too many. A lot of them have, you know, full-time jobs, and they do this on the side on their own schedule. But yeah, I mean, we want, again, turning passions into profits, that we want to help empower these people. And they've been looking for a platform like this for a while. So we hope this delivers.
Yeah. And even though it is probably good for a small group, a couple of people, this is, I would imagine this would be very appealing to somebody who travels by themselves as well.
So absolutely.
That you can, you know, you have a set in a tour guide or friend that you meet in another place who shows you the town.
Yeah. Ultimately, these folks are more than, you know, guides or hosts. They're ambassadors, right? And you know, going back to that Southside comedy host, when I was talking to him, you know, that experience starts in Greater Grand Crossing and goes throughout the Southside. And what he was really passionate about was, you know, I'm tired of the national headlines about what people think the Southside is. Mm. I know what the Southside is. I was born here. I was raised here. I'm going to die here.
Right.
And I want to show people what the real Southside is really like. And I want to forge those connections and those relationships. And I want to be, you know, a source of wisdom for folks who, you know, maybe, you know, all they really know about the Southside is, you know, I saw a headline about the shootings and nothing else. So he wants to open that door. And yeah, absolutely, for people, you know, traveling on their own, looking to kind of explore their own passions with like-minded people, right? So if you're interested in comedy in a different part of town, you're going to be going on an experience with people who feel the exact same way.
Let's talk, switch gears here for a moment, and talk a little bit about the new rules in Chicago for Airbnb. There's been a lot of head-scratching about where things stand. Can you give us an update on what are hosts still waiting for licenses and trying to follow these new rules about registering, or what's the process there?
Sure. So just for the broader overview, Chicago passed its home sharing ordinance in June of last year. And this was really seen at the time and still is as really a groundbreaking ordinance and a model, not just for other large American cities, but really throughout the world. And the most groundbreaking aspect of it was this host registration system. So we committed and have developed what's called, Airbnb has this pass-through registration system, whereas hosts to submit an application to keep hosting and get licensed, basically just click a button, and the information goes to us at Airbnb, and we pass it along to the city, hence pass the registration. This was supposed to go into effect starting in December. There were a significant number of delays, mainly due to litigation. There were a few groups, not Airbnb, who decided to file suit against the city and try to challenge certain parts of the law. So there were a few delays as a result of that. Now, there was recently a Tribune article that shed some further light on, you know, the city is basically taking the time that it needs to get the technology right. This is an overwhelming amount of data that is coming their way. It's a huge responsibility. We have over 6,000 hosts, just Airbnb alone, in the city of Chicago. And that's not even including other platforms like HomeAway and VRBO that have you know, their fair share as well. So so the city is taking the time that it feels it needs to get this right. You know, we've submitted all the data Airbnb has over to them. You know, we're going to keep supporting them as best we can. We want to be a good partner to the city of Chicago and everyone else. But you know, as far as when the licenses will start coming out, you know, the city says it will be soon. We hope that's the case, but either way, we'll continue to just support them every step of the way.
It's one of those situations where this economy with Airbnb and others that are taking place, something that's not going to be stopped, I don't think. I think that Chicago's recognized that, you guys have recognized that, and it's interesting that you're working together, because it is one of those things that I think can't be stopped.
Right, and you know, the growth is a result of people like it.
Right.
People like hosting. Mm-hmm. They count on the supplemental income. 15% of our hosts in the city of Chicago say that they utilize this income to avoid foreclosure or eviction. They really count on it. But we fully understand that regulation is necessary. So, you know, we're on board with that. We don't fight regulation. We just want to be a good partner. And, you know, we've secured over 350 agreements with local governments throughout the world, including Chicago. So we have a sense of kind of what works and what doesn't. And we think, you know, once this ordinance is fully implemented, it will be a model for elsewhere, particularly this pass-through registration system, with which a number of cities are now beginning. They saw what's happening in Chicago, and they want to replicate it. New Orleans, San Francisco, potentially a few other cities as well. So that's very exciting, obviously. And a really exciting aspect of what happened here is you know, hotel taxes in Chicago are high. you may have experienced at some point. we worked with the city to ensure that a portion of tax revenue from Airbnb guests to Chicago goes directly to fund a brand new homeless program, homeless support program. So as of last week, in the last year, it's now the 1 year anniversary of the ordinance and therefore that new tax, almost $3 million. I think once we get through Lollapalooza, we'll be at $3 million, has gone directly from Airbnb to the city of Chicago to fund this new program, providing housing for 100 homeless families. So that's really cool.
It seems obvious, but it seems that there's a grand plan for Airbnb. At first, it started out of just the hosts and staying, and then now it's the experience as part of it. I can't help but think that that wasn't part of an initial plan somewhere, or not.
Well, you know, when we have three co-founders who founded this company, I believe in 2008, by opening up some airbeds on their apartment floor in San Francisco, right? So, and it just sort of took off from there. I think they never envisioned that it would become the giant that it is today. So I think they're probably the first to admit that. But I think certainly a few years ago, it started to click for them that, you know, these values that our guests are really looking for, the authenticity, the desire to not just be confined to the Loop. The Loop is great. It's a huge neighborhood for it, you know, but right. To be confined to the hotel districts in a certain city, you know, to be able to live like a local, that concept could expand and could envelop not just where you stay, but the entire trip. So I think once that clicked, you know, for them, they were really off to the races. And this trip's platform has been in the works for a few years now. So we are so excited that it's finally happening. And for me personally, you know, as the Midwest representative here in Chicago, this is just such a great city for it.
Well, Ben, it's good to meet you. All the best to you and everybody at Airbnb in Chicago and everywhere.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Ben Bright is with Airbnb in Chicago. He's a spokesperson for the company.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are down 56 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are lower as well. Now commodities and agriculture. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Not a good day in the cattle market yesterday as live cattle futures fell to the lowest level in 8 months. Fund liquidation, weaker than expected prices for cash cattle. Packers in the Plains yesterday paid $115 for cash cattle that a week earlier brought $116 to $119. So at the end of the trading session yesterday, we were down limit in the feeder cattle contracts August through October, down $4.50. And August live cattle dropped $2.55 a hundredweight down to $110. However, pork prices moved higher yesterday. The August lean hog contract up 62 cents, ending the day at $84.12. And have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday, August 10th, in today's economic reports, the Labor Department releases weekly jobless claims and the producer price index for July. Freddie Mac, the mortgage company, has weekly mortgage rates. The Treasury Department has the federal budget data for July. Macy's and Snap, among companies, reporting quarterly financial results today. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, August 10th.